We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
Cyrus USA.
Everyone, and we're back to the Neil Haley Show and the Total Celebrity segment. I'm excited to welcome the program celebrity handicapper Brandon Lang. Brandon, how are you? This is your day, right? Super Bowl Sunday. You are really unstoppable when picking this game now, right?
Yeah, we've had pretty good success. I'm walking into Radio Row here in Miami. You know, 24-3. We've hit five in a row, and this is kind of the selection that's defined my career. You know, it's had a good feel for this game, but I will tell you this, unlike 5 years ago, caught a little bit of a break with New England beating Seattle. 4 years ago, it was pretty easy. Denver plus the points over Carolina, Denver's defense versus Cam Newton. You turn around 3 years ago, caught another lucky break with the big Patriot comeback against, Atlanta. 2 years ago, Philadelphia plus the points over New England was pretty easy, getting value. All Patriots Super Bowls were pretty close, 3-point games. And then, of course, last year taking Bill Belichick versus Jared Goff. That's kind of the process it was the last 5 years. This one here, you can make a case for the Niners. You can make a case for, for Kansas City.
It truly could.
It really is the reason why the line is pick a minus one. And at the end of the day, this is one of the tougher ones I've had to pick in years.
And the reason is because you just don't know which teams are going to show up on Sunday, because they both have showed domination in certain ways, but yet also have holes in both teams. They've not been dominant all year long.
Yeah, it's the matchup. You can look at the matchup from many different angles, but in my opinion, the matchup is the defensive line of the Niners versus the offensive line of the Chiefs. That's it. If they get pressure on Mahomes, it's game over. Niners win. If they don't get pressure on Mahomes, it's game over. Chiefs win. That's it. You can branch off into other areas. Niners running the football. Chiefs stopping the run. Garoppolo throwing to beat them. You can go in those directions. But at the end of the day, it comes down. They don't get pressure on Mahomes. It's game over, bro. It's game over. So you have to decide as a handicapper, are they yes? Are they no? And that's where you're at.
Yeah, and that's definitely the truth in all these things. And you're like looking at it. I look at it like this, and I'm sure. Let's go Super Bowl history, because I know you're a numbers guy. How many Super Bowls have been won by a quarterback that's an unknown against a very good quarterback? What's the record when you see something like that?
Well, you can't. You really can't say it's an unknown. Both these quarterbacks playing in this big stage is going to be something that you have to keep an eye on. Mahomes has never been on this big stage. Garoppolo's never been on this big stage. You basically take a look at that. You take a look at the fact that both these guys are in the biggest stage of their life. So, it's going to come down to what I just said. If they get pressure on, the Niners play zone 77% of the time. That means they aren't very good in man-to-man. So I use the analogy of college basketball. You start off in a 2-3 zone in college basketball, right, and their three-point shooters start banging home threes. You got to come out of that zone and go man-to-man, even if you're not a good man-to-man team. And that's what we have here, is if they don't get to Mahomes, they're going to have to come out of that zone in man-to-man. What would happen when they did that? Drew Brees scored 46 points on them. So there's your platform. Jared Goff scored 31 points on them. It's a dilemma of now, do you blitz? You blitz and play zone behind it. Well, if you don't get there now, you're really in trouble. So, a lot going on.
You're really looking at the breakdown of just one thing. I'm just I'm literally looking at quarterback matchups, and probably the last quarterback matchup with an unknown. Even though he's been a good he's a good quarterback. I think he's better than Jared Goff. Don't you think so?
Oh, listen, this is the best. This is the best quarterback that the Niners have faced all year. Don't mistake that for anything. This is the best quarterback they've seen all year. So, listen, I have a process when it comes to the Super Bowl. This process works to me. Works for me. I don't make it complicated when picking this game. I keep it simple. I find my key. I stay with my key, and then I roll with my key. And that's where I'm at. Thanks, but and that's got me 24-3. That's got me 5 in a row. And if you try to get away from what works for you, then you're in trouble. What works for me is that principle. Do I think the Niners pass rush gets there? If I do, I'm using the Niners. If I think Mahomes has time to throw, I'm using the Chiefs. My pick will be up on the website in 1 hour.
And you know what? Geez.
And you know what?
Yeah.
It's time to make it 6 in a row and 25-3. I'm going right into Radio Row right now. I got two guys that I talked to. Brian Baldinger, who I've used as a sounding board going back to 2006 when I went to Philadelphia. Brian and I have talked about every Super Bowl. So I'm going to go here and find Baldy, which is I do every year on Radio Row. And then there's one other guy that I find. And we break it down. Brandon Lang makes his pick in 1 hour. We're rocking and rolling, baby.
Okay.
We're rocking and
rolling. All right, Brandon, I'm sure you've been asked this question. What was your response when you heard about Kobe and passing? That's got to be rough on lots of people. It's been the question that's probably gone more in a Super Bowl ever about a horrific crash like what happened.
Disappointed in Kobe that he was flying around in a helicopter that was 29 years old. Didn't have the proper radar equipment for the fog. You have all the money that you have. You don't upgrade to something that's rock solid, ready to roll. And I was disappointed when I got that intel. But I'm more importantly, wasn't as crushed. I was crushed about Kobe. But I was even more destroyed about his daughter. I have a 10-year-old daughter.
Yes.
And her little life is now taken away. And she had WNBA star written all over.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the sad part. And then my heart went out to Kobe's wife, because now she's raising 3 more daughters on her own. And it's just, life is precious, man. Life is precious. And you just hold tight, because it moves fast and can be taken away from you at any time.
It can. And it's just shocking when you hear about this. And I didn't know that intel. So you know all the inside scoop, don't you, Brandon?
Yep. That's my job.
Well, again, we'll have it out there. Again, BrandonLang.com. And in 1 hour, it's going to be online. And I'm going to be releasing this soon. But if people are listening, remember, go there and you're going to get the pick. And Brandon, I think you'll pick the right team again. And I know you're not going to be, but I'm going with Kansas City. I don't believe a nobody quarterback. I don't think San Francisco's defense is as good as people say it is. And it just reminds me of a team like the Rams or certain teams that come in here. And they have all the hype, but yet when they face a team that has superstars like the Chiefs, they have superstars. They will win. The Chiefs will win the Super Bowl. That's my prediction. So we'll have to find out yours at BrandonLang.com. All right, Brandon, thanks for coming on, man.
Hi, buddy.
All right, take care. All right, bye-bye. All right, that was the Neil Haley Show. We'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Total Celebrity Show on the Total Radio Network. Again, TotalTutor.net for more information. Twitter, TotalTutor. Neil S. Haley. Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley. Instagram, TotalTutor. And definitely Pinterest, Neil Haley. And when we talk about the Andretti name, we talk about race cars and racing. We talk about the Andrettis. And now the youngest of the Andrettis is now going full-time. I want to hear the story of specifically how he decided to be a racer. I think he had he didn't start till a little later. And it kind of reminds me a little bit of the Wallace family as well. If one of the Wallaces, someone welcome to the program, Jared Andretti, son of John Andretti from the Andretti family, sprint car driver. Jared, how are you, man?
I'm good. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Absolutely. It reminds me a lot of, a story that you're placed into a family, especially a tradition of a race family. And it didn't end up happening at the beginning that you wanted to race, did it? You were doing a lot of other things, right?
Yeah, I was playing a lot of soccer, and I kind of had a decision when I was a junior and junior senior whether I wanted to continue to race or to go play soccer. And I had just started racing at that point. I could have played soccer in college, but I decided that racing was going to be something that I wanted to do. I kind of got a late start to it. And my first race was when I was 17. I'm 21 right now. So it wasn't too long ago. And so we just kind of got rolling with that. And then it's just kind of snowballed. It's been from go-karts to midgets to street modifiers to sprint cars, to silver crown cars, to GT cars, to all kinds of F2000s, I mean, lots of stuff, and I've done a lot of different stuff in the past 4 years.
Well, what's interesting, Jarrett, when you say this, is that a lot of people start racing at what age usually?
I mean, I know kids that have been racing, you know, since they're 4 or 5, you know, run quarter midgets, and then they just kind of take the route up through. So, you know, people that have been racing, you know, a long time, their entire life, essentially.
So, basically, growing up, you were around the racetrack a lot, weren't you, for sure?
Yeah, went to dad's, went to a lot of dad's races. By the time he was, I was born in Indianapolis and then I was raised in North Carolina. About the year after 2 years after I was born, he made the switch to full time to NASCAR. So I grew up in North Carolina. I grew up in stock car country. And, that was, you know, I went to a lot of his races. I raced a lot. And then it's kind of, I started doing my own thing, with soccer and everything. We kind of have two younger sisters as well. We started staying home more often, but we got to as many races, you know, as we could.
And did you have an inkling that you wanted to do this, or you enjoyed watching it and being involved in it, but you just didn't know for sure if this is what you wanted to do? And then it just kind of came at you, right? It sounds like it.
Well, it was, Dad got a go-kart for himself. He was coming off the road full time. My sister had some health issues, which she recovered from. And then I was, you know, he was gone all the time as I was growing up. So he wanted to come off the road and stay fit. So he got a go-kart. Well, I went to the go-kart track with him and had a lot of fun. We ran a lot of, you know, ran a lot of laps there. And they made a class for the kart that I was running. And so I was like, oh, well, let's do that. So we went and did it. And I had a blast. I had so much fun racing. That was really what hooked me, is getting to be competitive and racing wheel to wheel, side by side, starts, restarts. And that's kind of what hooked me. And from that point on, we kind of just been getting bigger and bigger and racing more and more.
So for our listeners out there, especially that might not understand the beginning of racing, when you talk about go-karts, we all know about the go-karts, you know, near the mall and stuff. This is a much different type of go-kart, isn't it?
Yeah, these are pretty intense go-karts. They're called touch and go, and they go, we have data on them, and they go about 70, 80 at the tracks that we go to at the end of the straightaway. And so you're just in a little, you know, go-kart you can reach your hand on, touch the ground. So they're not stuff you want to put people in malls in and do stuff like that. You know, they're intense. So when I got racing, and then from there, you know, I kind of started at the highest level of go-karts and kind of progressed very quickly from there, you know, getting into midgets and then super modified and stuff like that.
We're talking to Jarrett Andretti, a race car driver, sprint car from the famous Andretti family. And I've talked to people in racing, and talent goes a long way, but also, I guess, specifically selling yourself in so many ways as well, because you can't, again, you need to get sponsorship to be successful, to get in certain races and go to certain levels, correct? So basically it takes a lot of talent to drive, but also you have to be an entrepreneur in certain ways to keep it going, to be able to fund yourself to get into the bigger races, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And we have some great supporters. We have three different, we have Window World that supports me on the pavement silver crown stuff, and then the third sprint car outside of Indiana. So we go to Florida, Pennsylvania, Nebraska, California, Arizona, Minnesota. They're all involved in those. And then Superior Auto, which is a buy here, pay here company here in Indiana. They are expanding.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
wonder which came first.
Cyber Station USA.
Cyber Station USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. Cyber Station USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA, always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide. Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
Ohio and Southern Michigan, and they sponsor all the 30 races that we do here locally. So that encompasses some of the USAC schedule and then a lot of local races. And then we have Indy Trading Post, which is a gun and knife shop here in Indy, sponsoring at the Little 500 and then doing some other stuff, associate on the other cars as well. So we have a lot of good first people that have been around us, and a lot of others that are kind of smaller that are on the cars, are on all the cars, and help whenever they help as much as they can. So it's about building a big network and having people that are willing to support you and believe in you, and then also giving them a return on their investment as much as you can. Try to do as much promotion and activation and do, you know, make the deal as good as for them as it is for you.
So Jarrett, basically, when we talk about the sponsorship end of things, did Dad give you a lot of advice how to go out there and find sponsors for your racing? Did he help you in that process?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And he never did a lot of sponsor hunting, so it's kind of new to both of us. But we have our decks and we have our proposals, and we go about and we talk to all the people that we believe there are people, and then as we continue to talk to them, they point us to other parts, manufacturers and other people that might want to be interested. You know, if you do a good job with somebody, well, why wouldn't you want to be involved? So it really kind of snowballs on itself, as you kind of get rolling. The initial step is always the hardest, and then as you build your network, it just keeps getting bigger and better.
We're talking to Jarrett Andretti, sprint car racer, and it was really interesting, Jarrett. I remember now, I interviewed tons of people, but Mike Wallace kind of almost has like a parallel career in a way, and simply looking at, you know, being a part of the Wallace family and waiting till later to get into racing. A little different type of story, but almost the same in specific aspects in the way that, you know, it was you both started later. He started much later than you, but again, the family name and different things. Talent goes a long way in this, and I bet you it motivates you because you have that last name of Andretti. Right? That you know you're going to have to. Go ahead.
It's the same when you get out there on the track with everybody. You know, you don't, you just go and race as hard as you can. You don't know who you're racing with, but you look at them as car numbers as opposed to actual people when you're racing. You know, you just want to be in front of that car in front of you, and then you want to be in front of the car in front of him. And so you do, and then if you're lucky enough to be the leader, you want to keep everybody behind you. So it's, it's everybody's equal when you get up there. You're just racing as hard as you can, as clean as you can. And trying to make your way to the front. So there's not really any added pressure when you get out on the track. But you just race hard, and that's all I've always said. You know, it's the same when you get on the track.
So does it motivate you extra or drive you knowing that you're part of this family?
I think you got to have it in you whether your name is Smith, Joe, you know, whatever. You have to have it in you. The name can't motivate you, or you can't. Something can't. It has to be something that you draw out of yourself, and that motivates you to run as well as you can. And I believe I have that. And the name doesn't really play a part in it. If my name was TV, my last name was TV or picture, you know, and I want to go up and I want to have, you know, my name, Jarrett TV, and flashing lights, and at the front with the big check and the trophy girl.
So we're going to get into the racing in a second. Now, talent-wise, specifically starting later, do you think you had some things in you that specifically really equate to racing in a way that you really, once you got behind that wheel, you knew this is natural to me, this really feels something I really want to do? How did you, like, when you started to race go-karts, did you start seeing, you know, I do have some talent to be able to be part of this?
Yeah, I mean, I think there was something, you know, people that they step in and they have natural ability, and it varies for everybody. And then you pair that with experience, which is what people, you know, sometimes experience overcome talent in the sense that you, somebody that's been racing for 20 years and somebody that just gets their first laps in that car at that track, you know, they may have more talent than the guy that's had the experience, but it's going to take a little bit to pair that talent with the experience to beat the other driver. So it just all depends, you know, but I think when you sit in the car, you have to believe in yourself, believe in your abilities. And then as you get experience, you take all that in and pair that with your talent, and hopefully you become the driver that you aspire to be.
We're talking to Jarrett Andretti, sprint car driver from the world-famous Andretti family. And Jarrett, basically, from that process, you finally went from go-karts to finally starting to race on a semi-time basis last year, and you had some great success as well. So tell us specifically about when you, because again, you were still finishing up school and specific things last year, and the success, and now being full-time and the excitement that's building for you.
Well, last year we decided to go sprint car racing full-time, so we got a crew chief, and we decided to dedicate everything to racing sprint cars in Indiana, and we did about 30 races. I actually ended up getting hurt at the beginning of July, and that put me in the hospital, and then for, you know, overnight, and I was out for 6 weeks after that. So that took a big chunk of probably 15 to 20 races out of my schedule that would have otherwise been there, because you can race a lot in Indiana. So, you know, that was kind of a setback, but we raced a lot, you know, raced all the way from in the March into October. And so this year we decided we wanted to do the same thing, but also grow to a national level, go with USAC, race against the best guys every week on different tracks. And we were able to do that with Wonder World support, and then stayed low racing locally with Superior Auto. So we're always staying busy. We're always racing. I'm always in a sprint car, a Silver Crown car. I haven't had a weekend off. I think the racing has been end of March.
Oh, wow.
So we just and then not going to get a weekend off until about Thanksgiving. So we're just always racing, trying to get that experience and trying to go to different tracks, cars, and learn as much as we can.
So were you full time? So 2 years ago, I was checking out your Wikipedia, which again is always not the, or I think your website or something. So 2 years ago, basically you were part time and you got Rookie of the Year, right? And then last year you went full time, and now this year you're going national. Am I right on the timeline?
That's pretty similar, yeah. I mean, 2 years ago we came here to Indiana, and it was just me and my dad taking care of our car, and then I ran about 15 races in that, and then I ran about 10 races up at Oswego in a super modified. So whenever I was running that modified, that took three sprint car races off our schedule. So we probably would have done closer to 40 races without that. But it was a good experience for me, and I had good supporters up there. So I took that opportunity. You know, when I came out of midget the year before, I didn't really know what to do. I didn't know what route I wanted to go, what opportunities lie in front of me. So we kind of laid them out and picked a route, and this has been the route we've been sticking with ever since.
Wow. And so from there, where did you get Rookie of the Year? Where did they give you the Rookie of the Year? In Sprint Cup? The sprint car, or was it, what was it? Because I was seeing that you got those honors.
Oh yeah, we were Rookie of the Year at Lawrenceburg Speedway last year, Rookie of the Year at Oswego Speedway in the modified class, which are just two drastically different cars. And we were, I think we're, I believe, 11th in points in sprint car right now with USAC. And then I ran some Silver Crown races, and then we've been, you know, doing that as well. I think we finished, best finished sixth, So we've been racing a lot and doing a lot and just trying to run as good as we can.
What does your father think? How far you're going to go? What does he think? What is his prediction? Especially being as successful as he was in different things. Does he see some big things from you coming up? What does he think?
You know, it all depends. You know, for him, you know, that he's just like, you got to the way he got there was off talent. You know, he was able to get hired for a sprint car to an Indy car and it's a GTP car. And then from there, he got hired as a stock car. And from there, he stayed keeping rides. And it's tough to do these days because it's so much more expensive to race nowadays than it was back then. But, sometimes you may need somebody to come along and sponsor you and put you into that opportunity. And then you have to make an impression when you get there. But right now, we don't have somebody that's willing to move me to the next step. So we're just trying to right now win as many races as we can, run as good as we can, and hopefully make an impression on a car owner or a sponsor or somebody like that, take you to that next level. And really, this isn't, I don't have a preference to which level I go. If I get to go to NASCAR or IndyCar or sports cars or drag racing, rallying, I would like to make the next step, somewhere into full-time professional racing and try my hand in some different things. I like the way my dad's career is on Mario's. I'm doing lots of different racing, racing all the time and having fun doing it.
Well, and it seems like you really enjoy it. And seeing that, so you're just going with the flow, saying I'm a professional race car. I want to get full time. I want to get bigger and go to the next level. But it all depends. It's about talent, but it's also about finding the right sponsorship, which is interesting. And I don't think the business was like that 20 years ago. It sounds like so. It's important. It's an expensive sport, and you have to really find the right people that really think you have the potential to go to the next level. And I think so. I mean, again, for your age, you still have a lot of years left in racing, and if you continue to do well. So how many races have you won so far in your career?
I would say around 10. I don't know the exact number, to be honest with you. I just put the medal or the trophy or whatever, and once the race is over, then you're looking toward the next one. We've had some good runs together. Me and my dad took care of the car. We won a lot of races in the Focus Midget and had a lot of fast times. I think we won five races there and then won some additional races with the go-kart as well together. So we've been a pretty solid team coming up through the run.
Oh, most definitely. And so best of luck and so many things. Do you have anything else you're promoting, doing any other work that you'd like to talk about, any charitable work or anything else going on with you, Jarrett?
Well, I've been involved this year. I became involved with the March of Dimes. I partnered with them in Indiana along with UAW. And we've been raising money for the March of Dimes, March for Babies, which was on May 9th this year. I believe it's on May 10th next year. And I went and spoke there and also visited some different locals for UAW. They actually did a lap sponsorship around the 500 where he went to each it's a 500-lap sprint car race. And what he did is he went to these different locals and asked them to buy a lap for $5. And they went like hotcakes. And so that would have been $2,500, ended up going straight to the March of Dimes. So just kind of cool, creative things like that to do to raise money for the March of Dimes has been stuff we're doing, and we're looking to make that better, bigger and better next year.
What was the reason for taking on that charity, Jarrett? Is there a special reason?
Well, it was either when I was getting the opportunity, the March of Dimes asked me to do it, but also it was either going to be military or children. My dad has a relationship with Riley Hospital, and looking at, he has his own charity event, raised about a little over $300,000 this year, I believe, and I think they're close to almost over $3 million. They've been doing it for about 20 years. So I want to do something with kids, something along that lines, but I wasn't able to do my own charity event. So with the March of Dimes opportunity came along, that's something that I took and wanted to be involved with that. Their big thing is premature babies. That's their main issue they're trying to tackle right now. And I've had a couple cousins that were born prematurely, barely the size of a Ziploc bag. And they're now, they're 3, and they're starting their first day. They started the first day of preschool yesterday.
That's great. So great stories, and that's great you're giving back as well. Very blessed life for sure, Jarrett, you've lived, and now the opportunity to do something you love and get to work with your father. I think that's a lot of fun as well, to get to spend time with your dad doing something he continues to love, and you can be part of it and continue to improve. So where can our listeners find more information on you, Jarrett, and learn more about you? Where's the best place to go?
Usually the best place to go is Twitter. It's just at Jarrett Andretti. And then our race team is Andretti Short Track. We have Facebook pages, Jarrett Andretti Racing, and they're Andretti Short Track. My website, JarrettAndretti.com. So and I'm on Instagram as well, and it's at Jerry Andretti. So my mom actually finds out some of my results from Twitter. I post them on there before I give it to her. So she always gives me a hard time about that. So I would just, if you can follow me on Twitter, that's the best place to keep up with my results and ask questions and just do interact with me.
Well, I'm going to tweet you out when it goes out in syndication everywhere. I'm really active on Twitter, Jarrett. I did connect with you on LinkedIn, and that's the place to meet the most.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. Stitcher.
Stitcher.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
Stitcher.
CyberStation USA. Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide.
Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
Most amazing athletes, right? For sure. And I'd love to have more racers on. Love to have you back on, especially we'll follow your career, see what's going on, maybe have a chance to maybe talk to Dad. I think I'm connected with him on LinkedIn as well. I can't remember, but that's just you're fantastic. You're doing a great job, and I'm going to start trying to get into racing more again, because being a Pittsburgher, you know, I've learned more from just interviewing Mike Wallace and yourself to say, oh my gosh, now I'm learning this game, I'm understanding it more. Because as a novice or someone that doesn't really understand it, they don't understand how hard it is to get to the main stage. And it's not just talent.
Right.
It takes sponsorship, which it's quite interesting. So, Jarrett, thanks for calling, especially not feeling the very best that you are, and to take the time to talk to me. So I appreciate you calling.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate me on. Look forward to talking to you guys in the future.
All right. Take care, Jarrett. Good talking to you, man.
Thanks.
Okay, bye. You're listening to the Total Celebrity Show on the Total Radio Network, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Rob Roselli Show. And I'm excited to welcome to the program Rob Roselli. Rob, how are you? And again, another day, another interesting conversation, and craziness continues to happen with the proceedings with President Trump, to the election getting closer and closer to November. And as you say, it looks very, very dim, our future.
Look, you know, again, I'll say it again and again, and, you know, you just have to keep things in perspective here. Ultimately, you know, you figure out who's in charge of this whole mess, and the God of the universe, who's actually, I mean, if you look, read Psalm chapter 2, and, you know, where he says he's going to laugh at the people that oppose them eventually, and that day is coming. And also Isaiah chapter 40, where it talks about the nations are like dust, Okay, in other chapters, Isaiah 55, my ways, you know, as high as the heavens are above the earth, my ways are your ways. And so just keep that in mind. You know, I know it's everything is grim and dark and where our society is going. You know, it's being ripped apart at the seams, and we'll get to that in a minute. But people really need to keep that in mind. At the end of the day, the creator of the universe has been, is now, and always will be in charge of this whole mess, and it's all for his purposes. And don't ask me to begin to be able to explain everything, but I can just go on what is in the King James Bible, and that is what we are discussing.
Right.
So,
and you've hit the nail on the head. You just, it's just, if you read scripture, the outlook doesn't look good if people are not following God's plan. And let's talk history, Rob, because I want to ask you in that way of, you know, reading scripture. We've right. seen this in history at times where we've been this down, where we really were not following God's plan. What's the difference from 2020 to, let's say, 1990? How far have we gone down in that time period? And then also looking at the, let's talk about the Roman Empire days. Is that where you kind of look at these kind of comparisons and see where we're going?
Pretty much. I mean, let's just stick with the biblical, and I'll try and maybe I'll answer things in reverse order. But, you know, I guess the most apt analogy would be Nineveh. Okay, if you
yes,
go back in the
I'm familiar
book
with that,
Jonah
yes.
and Nineveh and you know, the capital of the Assyrian Empire, and Jonah went there, and he didn't really want to. The Ninevites didn't particularly care for the Ninevites or what everything they were doing to you know, his home country, you know, Israel. But anyway. He went there and he preached and they repented and they recovered. Okay, and that's Nineveh, and they were, you know, the Assyrian Empire is right up there with the most evil empires in world history. And I'm talking quote secular world history, not just in the Bible. I mean, you know, the Assyrians were not nice people, as were many other empires throughout history. But anyway, but they repented. I mean, eventually they digressed and they were eventually destroyed, but you know, so in many ways, you know, the United States is can be Nineveh, but I do not think it will be. Fast forward to Matthew's gospel, and I believe it is Matthew, I'm going to say chapter 11. You know, and Jesus says it'll be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for you. I mean, granted, he's talking to the Jewish Pharisees, but, you know, and let me just diverge off that one. I'm not, people say, oh, you know, you don't think Israel's God's chosen people, you're an anti-Semite. That's not the case, you know. And, you know, a lot of these brainwashed so-called Christians and their leaders, you know, Israel's, no, Israel, I support Israel as a nation. I respect them. They're a very tough nation. But I'm just, from a biblical standpoint, they conceded in the position as God's chosen people 2,000 years ago, in Jesus' own words, if you read Matthew 23, they did recover. They were regathered in 1948, and I get it, the fig tree, and you know, we can go into Matthew 24 in a future show. But anyway, let me back up in reverse and go back to the general point. So here we are. You know, Jesus is berating, you know, all these nations, and you know, he's talking to the Pharisees. Now, who are the Pharisees? You know, but the money changers and we've discussed on past shows. I mean, the money changers tied directly to our very own Federal Reserve system.
Exactly.
You know, which basically, I mean, the principle is exactly the same, right? I mean, they're changing worthless Federal Reserve notes that they have in the past history. We won't get into that right now. Basically, for real monetary assets like gold and silver, they've taken off the streets of America and exchanged those for worthless Federal Reserve notes. Which we call the U.S. dollar, of course, with the all-seeing eye of Apollo or Apollyon. Read Revelation chapter 9 or Matthew 22 in Jesus' parable, and he says the stone you builders rejected, you know, obviously has become the capstone, and you know, it will crush on who it falls. Who falls in it will be crushed. And he's making a difference between believers and non-believers. But anyway, the stone. you know, if Jesus calls himself to the Pharisees and the money changers the stone the builders rejected, then obviously that implies there is a stone that the builders accepted. Okay, that being the all-seeing eye of Apollo or Apollyon, again, on top of the capitalist pyramid of Giza, back on the back of your so-called Federal Reserve note, which we mistakenly call money or something that has monetary worth in this nation. It is not money. It is an instrument of perpetual debt. But anyway, so, you know, let's talk Roman Empire for a minute.
Right. Yes.
I'm not a doctor. I don't have a doctorate in history, and whatever. But I'm in general principle. If you compare what happened to the Roman Empire, the United States is pretty much an accelerated form of the Roman Empire. So, in other words, political corruption, moral and civil decadence, immorality, bathhouses, the whole nine yards, transgenderism being taught to our children in schools now. I know that's not politically correct. All kinds of weirdos. Pedophilia is now becoming normalized. I mean, we are going.
That's all that was in the Roman Empire days. Really?
Yeah, and so you had that. Yeah, you had that moral decadence. Okay, and then the term bread and circuses. So what did the government do? They fed people bread, which was just debt-based money. They diluted their money supply. I think they were diminishing the amount of actual silver in their coins, and I'm not sure the exact technical details, but some along those lines. But they were debasing their money, and we just talked about, you know, the United States has essentially in principle done the same thing with our so-called central bank or Federal Reserve system. You know, you had political corruption and you had empire. Okay. The Romans, you know, they expanded north into Germany, you know, on the south and, you know, North Africa, of course, you know, to the east, all the way out into the Middle East. And they overextended themselves, you know, endless military invasions, supporting an army, you know, in the distant lands that was running up the debt. So that sounds familiar. So if you just look at all the parallels, and of course, the bread and circuses part. I mean, give the people welfare and quote free college and quote free healthcare, and of course the circuses, you know, all the games. You know, today the circuses, you know, instead of the Coliseum, I mean, we call today circuses the NBA, the NFL, Major League Baseball, and so on and so on.
Exactly.
You know, like I admit, I watch the NFL on Sunday, but that's it. You know, I mean, the point is that in this nation we have super saturated ourselves with entertainment, sports, pointless entertainment, these stupid news, what is that show? The Masked Singer and these stupid adult cartoons, these mentally inane adult cartoons. So there's your circuses, you know, again, your bread is your endless welfare state. So you have the parallels to the Roman Empire. Let's just fast forward to today. I mean, you know, who is funding the demise of the United States, or what I identify as Mystery Babylon? That would be the same Federal Reserve system, because people, what many quote conspiracy kooks or conspiracy theorists don't really appreciate, you know, they tend to focus on solely the economics, and, you know, or even many people that speak out against the Federal Reserve, and, you know, people know a lot more about economics than I do, and probably a lot smarter than me on an IQ test, and that's fine. But what a lot of these people miss is that the fingers of the Federal Reserve System are much more pervasive than just the economy. Like, for instance, if you go back like to the Rockefeller brothers, and, you know, John Rockefeller and the Rockefeller Brothers Fund, and the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. I mean, you talk about a misnomer if there ever was one. Again, if you go back and look what these people have got their fingers into, it's the education system. We've talked about the tax-exempt foundations, with a couple of names I just mentioned, the Ford Foundation, another one, ultra-liberal, ultra-left-wing, still very active today. You know, these left-wing colleges, you know, these Ivy League useful idiots, Harvard, Cornell, these other places. So you got education.
Exactly. Yeah.
And the radical homosexual movement. Okay, and again, I'm not, you know, of course, in these days to say anything bad against gay people. Oh,
you're in deep trouble.
Homophobe. But anyway, look, the point is that how they become so powerful, people are wondering. Well, because the Rockefeller Foundation and related funds, I mean, they funded this weirdo known as Alfred Kinsey, okay, back in the 40s and the 50s, and he, quote, normalized and mainstreamed the homosexual movement. And, you know, and the media, of course, the takeover of the media, you know, J.P. Morgan originally purchased, you know, General Electric was purchased NBC, you know, Rockefeller originally, you know, the New York Times, the original owners of that. So you wonder, people keep wondering, why is the press so disgustingly liberal? They're liberal in everything except when it comes to starting wars and it's these psychopathic wars, and all of a sudden, you know, the press goes from ultra-liberal to neocon war hawks, because it's exactly in line with their criminal overlords. I mean, endless wars, the military-industrial complex, that whole thing. So in other words, you know, and what I've done on my site, you know, to kind of illustrate this is if you go through my site, and be honest with you, I'd have to dig it out myself right now. But there's something on there called the Rockefeller game. Okay. And it's not really a game, really. It's just a tabulation of these movements and many of what I just mentioned. And if you go through everything that the Rockefellers and everybody that related, you know, bankers or gangbankers, as I call them, what they funded, what they've been doing over the past 100 years in this nation, funding all these different movements, you can take parallels right to Orwell's 1984. Okay, so Orwell was more than just, you know, government, you know,
right?
Of course, freedom of speech, but Orwell was very big on the destruction of the family, the destruction of the marriage, mm-hmm. the neutralization of the orgasm. Okay, which you know stuff like that, you know, the disintegration of the distinction between men and women, i.e., transgenderism. Okay, all these things are in Orwell's 1984, but again, a lot of people, they focus only on the economics or maybe the political and the, you know, 2 + 2 = 5 and all that. And I get all that. And of course, that's all part of it.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shake-up to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA. Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide.
Everything has changed.
A new age. The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
But it goes much deeper than that. It's the destruction of the family. It's the destruction of marriage. It's the children turning against the parents. Okay, then you have this. Now you have this Greta Thunberg running around, you know, all the Western countries, you know, basically telling the little kids, your parents are going to kill you because they're driving SUVs. And of course, the Bernie Sanders useful idiots are picking up on that. You know, carbon dioxide's a pollutant. And, you know, how about that for a real quick sidebar? How funny is that? Carbon pollution.
Yes.
Idiots. These stupid idiots, carbon pollution, right? You know what carbon pollution is, Neil? It's called carbonation biochemical, carbonaceous biochemical oxygen demand, okay? That's when you put poop, okay, for lack of a scientific term, okay? You defecate on the streets and it washes into your storm sewers. And that carbon exacts an oxygen demand from the bacteria and all those surrounding waterways. And you're having huge, huge, real carbon pollution in San Francisco and Los Angeles. Due to that, but of course the idiots, you know, carbon pollution is carbon dioxide or just people, really. But the dumbest, and the point is, these people are so stupid and clueless. It's again, it's logically impossible for me to believe that there's not something more powerful at work, i.e. John Carpenter's They Live. But anyway, getting back to the point, if you go through there and you just go line by line and the characteristics of Orwell's 1984 society and you parallel them with what's going on today and all the stuff exploding onto the scene in these United States, the parallels are absolutely striking, and it is not an accident, okay? It's not an accident that the so-called free press is 98% liberal or whatever it is, and all the everybody keeps wondering, well, why are the academic institutions, why are they so ultra-liberal? Well, because they're funded by the tax-exempt foundations. And liberalism is just a soft word for socialism, which in turn is just a soft word for outright communism. And you're seeing that, you know, manifested, say, in the Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren camps. Okay, of course, it's communism for everybody else except for them. But again, this is not a coincidence. What we're seeing, okay, is a conglomeration of all these events. Okay, there's enough Christians in this nation to have just barely gotten Trump elected at the last election. Okay, but Trump is absolutely not supposed to be president. He's not part of the game. Okay, they really hate Trump. They are going to get rid of him one way or another.
And it's
going to
happen at one point. It either is going to happen.
I hope I'm wrong again, Neil, as usual. I hope I'm wrong. But I, again, as we discussed on last week's show, what I just described over the past 15 minutes, I believe, is the political beast whose head wound was just healed in Revelation 13, or whose head wound will be healed. I mean, Trump is still going to do a lot of damage. Trump is still going to be outing these people. There's going to be arrests. I believe there's going to be more Jeffrey Epstein's. More and more of these people are going to become exposed. Remember, we talked about Job chapter 12 on past shows, you know, and where I talked about how the people in charge, the Schiffs, the Clintons, the whole lot of them, the people behind them are panicked, okay? And they're as stupid and as scared and as panicked as they see when Pelosi's another one, you see him on the air. And we talked about Job chapter 12. So, and Trump's responsible for a lot of that. And again, you know, just to kind of wrap it up, he is, I believe this, but then don't forget that deadly head wound's going to be healed. And then things are really going to go south fast. And we're probably out of time at this point. We could probably cover that on future shows.
All right. So boxofsunglasses.com for more information. You can check out Rob in all those different places, social media wise, and message him and do all those different things and go to the website and send him an email. If you have questions, purchase any, his two books that are available online as well, and any of the other types of things that Rob is doing. So I appreciate you calling, Rob, and another great show. And you really, I think you answered my question. You answered my question of why today versus 1990 or the Roman Empire days. It's because it's as bad as Roman Empires or Nineveh. So two areas of places that we don't want to, that I don't think anyone that was not was Roman citizen or was from Nineveh that did not repent wants to be part of. So that's a lesson learned.
Again, the Ninevites did, but then they digressed, and then the Romans.
But not everyone.
Romans just kind of dissolved. Yeah. I mean, the Roman Empire, I don't think it was ever formally conquered. It just kind of dissolved into obscurity, and they split up in the West and the East. But anyway, the overall point is that, you know, the parallels are striking, but our end is going to be much more.
All right. Well, appreciate it, anyway. Rob. All right, take care. See ya.
I know. Thanks a lot.
All right, that was the Robert Sully Show, everyone.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Total Tutor Show. I'm the host of the show, Neil Haley. You got to go to the website, TotalTutor.net, to find out more information on the Total Education Network. Twitter, Total Tutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook. We're getting very close to school is on. Some kids have already gone back to school, and if you're listening, you're probably getting ready, or you're hoping your kids are in school. So I first want to welcome the program, my co-host, Jared. Jared, how are you?
Very well, Neil. I think my son starts school on this coming Tuesday, but I could be mistaken.
So some schools started this week, which I think is too early, and then next week it's okay. But the conversation I want to have is I just think that in almost, am I right, 5 years it'll be radio at one point in time. By December, I have to do the math again. I'll have to go back to last year's anniversary. I think 5 years that education has changed in so many ways, so dramatically, from the way, and it's really becoming a fight. It's becoming an absolute fight between two sides, and there's no compromise. I thought there might have been compromise 2 or 3 years ago, but right now we're just really in a tough time, I think.
Well, you know, I think there would be a number of people in our audience who would say the more things change, the more they stay the same. Has a lot changed? Absolutely. There's no question about it. Have some of those things changed and we say, I wish that they remained the same? I think there's a significant part of the parenting population, the educational population, that feels that we should really keep things the way they are or the way they were.
Right, and never grow from this. But I think that what's happened with Secretary Arne Duncan and President Obama's education plan is different than I think it was on paper about 5 years ago. And I think it's because they're pulled in so many directions. Teacher unions bring them back to the fold again to let's change things. The Republican Tea Party is going in an extreme way. So there's so much going on.
You're right. People have a vested interest, and it doesn't make them sinister. We may not even agree with those interests. And let's face it, on this show for 4.5 years, you and I have presented certain interests that we strongly believe in. Now, those interests don't necessarily match what part of the population has, and certainly they do match, I think, a great deal of our listeners, but we know through the feedback that even some of our listeners don't necessarily agree with everything that we have said. But people have opinions. They have strong opinions about education, and it doesn't make them, as I used the word earlier this evening in the conversation, it's sinister. It's what they believe in.
Right, and so let's go to two areas that I think that one I want to bring up is one that really is making me upset, is the fact that private schools are now going in the process of adopting Common Core. And here's my problem with this, and also looking at teaching to the test more. Two areas that I just feel that parochial schools and private schools do not need to if they're doing well. If they were doing poorly, yes, you got to go and start adopting some of these standards. But if you're doing very well and there's never been any problems and parents haven't been concerned about it, why do it, Jarrett?
Well, let's face it, no school needs to teach to the test. If they are teaching to the test, then they are failing in their core areas. We've talked about this so many times on our show, that the skills necessary to succeed in the standardized test are skills that do not need to be taught they're not direct skills that need to be taught. They are skills that need to be taught to every student, problem solving. And these are generic terms that we throw out. You know, what does problem solving look like? What do we put out there? Everybody uses these terms to try and differentiate who they are, what they are. But yet there's validity in these terms. If you're presenting material and learning opportunities in an authentic way, in a way that provides children with the opportunity to analyze information, memorize information, the core, the earliest parts of that are the memorization, the knowledge base of information. You know, without a strong ability to memorize, and that doesn't mean just simply recall dates. What I mean is memorize just some of the basic components of it, your time tables. And I know we're kind of going off track here a little bit, but these are common core concepts. You know, the ability to be able to read, within a certain age level, time frame. Memorize basic math facts. That doesn't mean you don't know the math facts. You don't understand the principles behind those. We know this as teachers, that if students can memorize times tables, it can mean that they have no concept of what multiplication is other than the basic memorization. That's not good either. But we can teach to the test. We can have children do well on standardized tests without using a lot of classroom time that is teaching to the test.
Right. Setting the bar high, teaching and letting them make sure that they develop skills, go through the curriculum, and have high expectations, and you're a good teacher, they're going to perform well.
Right. I've used my son many, many times as an example from the behavioral component of...
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shake-up to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple. Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA. Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide.
Everything has changed.
A new age. The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.